I want to begin with a reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, if you'll join me there. 1 Peter chapter 1. Begin at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. This is one of those places in the Bible that is very familiar to me. Do you have places like that? I mean, I know this passage so well that large portions of it I can literally quote from memory. One of the reasons that is true is because at every funeral service I do, I read this passage, almost without exception. I think from one angle, particularly from the world's angle, that may seem an odd choice. Because there are words Peter uses that don't seem fitting for funerals, aren't there? Have you ever thought about that? Blessed? Mercy? Born? Living? Hope? Resurrection? Rejoice? In the face of the tragedy of death, many are angry with God and not inclined to pronounce him blessed. And to those without God, how can there be any rejoicing in the face of death? Certainly no hope, no life. I think when we read this passage, it is with different eyes, isn't it? One of the greatest blessings I think we possess as followers of Jesus is hope in the face of death. And Peter unpacks that for us. Again, will you notice his words? He says there is an inheritance. And he works that a little bit with several words: imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven. In fact, he goes on to contend that this hope is so powerful, it's so compelling, that even in the face of life's worst trials, disciples rejoice. Because we know it's just the season and better things are coming. And to the critic who would contend that that is an empty wish, Peter makes the argument powerfully in verse 3, doesn't he? He notes that our hope is a living one. Why? Because it is based on a living Savior. Our hope is alive because Jesus is alive. And so every time I do a funeral, I come back to this passage because I want the grieving to embrace the living hope, even in the face of terrible loss. And this isn't a funeral, is it? What does all this have to do with what we're about to do at this table? It's in verse 3. Will you look back there again? Because what Peter contends is all of this begins with what we remember at the table. This hope we have in the face of death. This inheritance we're anticipating it. It begins here. Because he says in verse 3, by the mercy of God, we have been born again. What Jesus did makes that possible. We are born again in the sense that we have been washed, completely cleansed from our sins, like a child born into the world. We're able to put off that old self, that life of sin, every sin that we've committed. We're able to be a whole new person in Christ. In fact, if we go on down through the context, he works that a little more. If you look down at verse 17, he would go on to say, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable, think about the contrast there, perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited, there's that word again, from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. It is the precious blood of Jesus that cleanses us and makes us a new person. And it's what we celebrate when we come to this table. This memorial we will observe has the capacity to stir this vast array of emotions. Maybe you're like me, often when we do this, my heart is burdened with grief and sorrow. Do you feel that? It is hard for me not to realize that my sins put him there. This happened. This death took place because I sinned. And so grief and sorrow are appropriate feelings to experience when we come to the table. Just not the only ones. There is also a reason to celebrate, to be joyful. Because through the sacrifice of Jesus, I've been born again. In the face of my inevitable death, which is coming for me, I live in hope, real hope. And after this life, a wonderful inheritance is waiting for me because of Jesus, because of what we remember now. And so this morning, as we remember his death, let us celebrate our living